Well, let's just come right out and say it. Most of us like Martha better than we like Mary. People can even feel a little bit scandalized, I know, because you all come up and tell me whenever we read this reading. People can even feel a little scandalized when Jesus gives Martha what my wife Alice calls the eighth sacrament. The eighth sacrament, if you don't know, is almost as important as the other ones. The eighth sacrament is the holy smackdown. And we need it when we get a little bit big for our britches, or when our ideas seem to be wiser to us than the ideas of God. Gently but firmly, Jesus administers the eighth sacrament. But why? Why, we ask ourselves. Why? Things need to get done. Dinner is not going to make itself. And Jesus, not just anybody, but Jesus, the celebrity rabbi, is in the house. So somebody has to make sure that this party is up to Church of the Good Shepherd standards of excellence and quality and good taste. Even Abraham gets into the act in our Old Testament lesson. The rules of ancient Near Eastern hospitality said that he absolutely had to feed those three mysterious strangers who shimmered into his presence at his tent doorstep. But Abraham goes all out, or at least he gets Sarah and the servants to go all out, and puts on an impressive meal, turning a calf into barbecued veal ASAP. We get that. We even admire that. We are goal-oriented, task-focused people. So we have a whole lot of sympathy for someone like Martha. We like getting things done. We like getting things done right. That takes work. Work is important. Trouble is, work can also be addictive. Busyness can turn into a goal in itself rather than a means towards a more important end. If we let it, work can crowd out other important things in our lives. Now, the Bible has a whole lot to tell us about work. And the Bible is very positive about work. Work is healthy. Work is necessary for humans to flourish the way God wants them to. Work gives us an opportunity to come alongside God in the process of creation and help bring out the full potential of all the wonderful stuff around us. Work is part of what it means to be human. But Scripture is also very clear. Work is good, but work must have limits. Work must have boundaries, or it can become unhealthy, distracting, and sometimes even destructive. This is nothing new, but we've got to hear that biblical assessment, that biblical warning, and take it into our hearts. The Bible makes this very, very clear right from the very beginning. Of course, we remember. In the creation story, we remember. God puts limits on his own work. Resting on the seventh day, Now, we've heard that since we were little kids in Sunday school, but just think about how remarkable that is. God chooses to limit his work. It's not because God is tired or burnt out, and he's not obeying union rules. It seems that even for the Almighty, it is best for times of work to be balanced off with times of not work. Even God takes time to engage with his creation in a way that's different from how he engages with it when he's working on it. He takes time to step back a little, to see his creation, not so much as something to work on or add to, but something to enjoy, something to appreciate, something to love. And of course, God strongly recommends, well, he commands the same for us. If God the Omnipotent puts boundaries on his work, how much more should we? And the big question that challenges us and every generation that tries to follow that command is how? The people of Israel took the Sabbath command very seriously. They recognized it as something that could make them distinctive as people dedicated to God. But by Jesus' time, things had become a little bit weird. There were all kinds of rules and all kinds of debate about how to keep the rules, about Sabbath. Could you feed your ox? Well, maybe. Could you ride a donkey? No. Could you check your email? Probably not. We took that command for rest. We took that command for Sabbath. And what did we do? We made it into more work. Jesus tries to call people back to the true meaning of this command, this meaning that we're trying to wrap our hearts around, when he reminds them the Sabbath is made for us, not us for the Sabbath. It's meant for our flourishing. It's meant for our well-being. It's meant for our true good. Having boundaries on our work is important for our human well-being. But it's even more important for our relationship with God. And this is where Martha comes in. And this is why Jesus gently but firmly administers that eighth sacrament. Notice what happens in today's gospel story, and think about how true it can be for all of us. When Martha gets really wrapped up in her work, when she gets all wrapped around her own axle, she gets anxious, and what happens when we get anxious? Our vision narrows. She gets anxious, and her agenda, her list of tasks that need to get done, becomes all she can see. It affects the way she relates with the people around her, especially her sister Mary, and it even affects the way she relates with Jesus. And that's the important part. It all comes out in one tiny little phrase. Tell her. Tell her, Martha says. The Greek verb is in the imperative voice. That's the one that's used to give command. So here's how it's shaking out. Martha has the Son of God sitting in her living room. And out of her anxiety and busyness, what does she do? She starts bossing him around. We need boundaries. We need boundaries around our work. Not just for our own health, but to make space for God. And I'd like to address parents in the gathering today. Because the world that our kids are growing up into is so goal-oriented, so task-focused, so accomplishment-centered. It can be an anxious place for our kids. And we need to show them what it looks like to step back from that. What it looks like to step back into Sabbath. What it looks like to find a relationship defined not on our productivity or our test scores or what we can get done for our employers, but a relationship that's solely centered around acceptance and love and reconciliation and forgiveness. Show our kids how to step back and settle into a relationship with the God who loves them. That's, I think, one of our great responsibilities as Christian parents. And if we want our kids to have God in their lives, we've got to show them how to make time for God in their lives. And this is for us too. If we're not just as disciplined about taking that time as we are about the other things in our lives, then it's all too easy for our to-do list to turn into an idol for us, the way it was for Martha. Martha's lesson is our lesson, and it's true for us right here, right now. Jesus is in the house. The dishes can wait. We know all this. And just like it was for the people of Israel, the question for us is how. Yes, the people of Israel got all legalistic about this with lots and lots of rules telling you what you could do and couldn't do. But I think there are lots of ways of keeping Sabbath. What's most important is we recognize that we need it. There are lots of ways of finding Sabbath moments in our lives. Tom Fidgen, the guy who taught the woodworking course that I took last year, Tom was an absolutely prodigious worker. He just loved being in the shop building beautiful furniture. But Tom was a master at what I like to call the micro Sabbath. Well, I remember seeing him once just standing quietly looking at this big chunk of walnut that he was working on. And he turned to me and he said, "Sometimes you have to just stop working and notice how beautiful this stuff is." That's a Sabbath moment. We can find those. Sometimes Sabbath is more drastic. Sometimes we need to be very deliberate about guarding a period of time and perhaps going on retreat. We need to be deliberate about this time here in worship, coming, sitting at Jesus' feet. There are lots of ways of keeping Sabbath. The important thing is to know we need it. It's a challenge in a culture that seems to be pushing us towards work without end. But we resist that. The Son of God is in the house. We set aside our agenda. We stop. We listen. We make Sabbath. It might not come naturally to us, but with the Spirit's help, we try to be more like Mary. In Jesus' name, amen.